Article 1 of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. You're listening to the Article 1 podcast. I'm Maren Peake McAllister. In both our podcast and magazine editions, we're dedicated to reporting on human rights issues from a variety of perspectives. This series is produced as part of the Community Podcast Initiative on Treaty 7 territory and powered by Shaw. In this episode, the viability of universal basic income in Canada. Universal basic income has been a topic of discussion for years, but with the high amount of job loss faced by Canadians during the COVID-19 pandemic, UBI has been brought to the forefront of financial discussions once again. A program such as universal basic income would provide Canadians with a safety net to reduce the stresses of job loss or other financial burdens that contribute to poverty in Canada. Hart Richards, a former preschool teacher who lost her job during the COVID-19 pandemic, struggled to pay for food and shelter, which some think should be considered basic human rights. I sat down with Hart Richards in her home in Calgary on Treaty 7 territory to discuss how a universal basic income might have helped her situation.
I'm 21 years old. I have a degree, certification in early childhood education, and I am a nanny currently. I've lived in Calgary my whole life.
Truth had said that maybe a year or 2 years ago or something like that, that you experienced like layoffs.
Yeah.
And especially it's like a hard time for like childcare and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you can just kind of walk me through your experience with that.
Yeah. So when COVID happened, on the 15th of March, we got told, don't come into work. We'll let you know what's going on when we know what's going on. So about a week later, they told us you guys will still be getting paid and everything, but not through us, through the government. So they told us to sign up for the EI that people were getting through the Canada government. And so we signed up for it. Everything was fine, but I was making way less than I was making on my paychecks regularly. So I was really struggling with just living off the EI because it was $400 less than what my actual paycheck would be. So that $400 was all my spending money, basically. So that was really difficult in itself. And then when time came that places were reopening, they had called everybody back, and since I was one of the last people to get hired there, I was one of the first to get let go, because that's just the way it was. Whoever was there the longest got priority. So I got let go, and then I looked for a job for about 2 weeks. I was looking in my industry still, daycare, preschool industry. And then I started to broaden it to nannying and everything else, because I was not getting any job offers, because already people in preschools and in daycares, they were already cutting numbers. So they were already cutting their staff too. So they couldn't hire new people. So I had to wait until my last job, they found me somebody who was looking for childcare. So they hired me as their nanny a month after I kind of got officially let go from my job. And yeah, after that, everything was really great. I got really lucky with the nannying job.
So how long would you say from being laid off to finding your next job, around how long did you spend in that in between?
Well, in the in-between, it was probably a month to a month and a half where I was just looking for preschool and daycare jobs. And then after that, my old boss had called me and asked if she could give out my number to help me out. And I was like, yes, please. Yes. So after that, that's when I found the nannying job with a family who I had already taken care of their kids in the daycare. So that was really good.
What would you like? So you said sort of that you were doing like the EI thing. Was it just the EI, or did you do like the CERB or any other like programs or anything like that?
So the EI that I was on was the CERB basically. And no, I didn't get like accepted for anything else. Like my dad tried to apply me for anything that could be, but it was just the CERB that I could get. And it was like, it was not good money. I did not survive off of that.
What would you say were sort of the biggest impacts that that had on your life? Like, how did your day-to-day change with, you know, the change, the drop-off in the money that you said you had?
Well, already my stress was just through the roof because, like, COVID was scary at first, like, in itself, right? And so I was super stressed out for the whole time, and I was worried because I was asking my parents for money that I was like making their life harder too. So it was just a really stressful situation, like all in itself, because even if I did use my credit card or whatever for anything, I wouldn't be able to pay it back. So that literally wasn't an option. I had to borrow money from my parents.
Is there maybe like a specific time where you felt like that you were like really struggling, like one day or one week or something like that, where you like have like a specific memory of that?
Yes. Yeah. There was like a couple weeks where I would just eat noodles because we were like, we couldn't go grocery shopping anymore because we had run out of money. We had paid rent and that was it. We bought dog food and noodles, and that was all we could afford because we were like, we can't let our dog starve. We'll starve. Like, yeah, it was bad.
Do you think like a universal basic income, how do you think this might have like changed the situation that you found yourself in? Or would you, do you think that you would even have found yourself in that situation if there was already a livable income that was sort of given to every citizen?
Yeah, no, I would not have been in that situation if there was already an income, because the only reason like we were struggling was because we had to pay rent still. And what we were getting from CERB was only enough to cover our rent. And that was basically it. Like, we didn't have anything else. We just had enough money to live. And that was it. So it's like, yeah, if we had that extra money, we would have totally been fine. And I wouldn't have had to stress about anything.
Do you think that if citizens were given like a monthly expense, regardless of work or anything like that, do you think that for yourself, that would like sort of de-incentivize you from wanting to work? Or do you think that you would still like want to be actively working?
Oh no, I would still want to be working for sure. I think the like extra income would give me peace of mind to know that I have that in my back pocket in case something happens. But I would definitely always want to keep my like day job to have that extra money where I want to do things and I want to go places and I want to spend, you know?
Yeah. So that's like sort of something that I was looking into as well, is like, you know, whether, so it's sort of looking into human rights, right? So like whether or not shelter and food should be human rights.
Yeah.
So the only way to really mitigate something like that would be an income like that. So we were like, sort of like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think basic living needs and food is something that should be provided and given, especially because, like, we live in such a good country. Like, we are a wealthy country, and a big problem in our country is homelessness and people dying because of homelessness. And it's like, It is very scary. If you lose your job, you can lose your house, you can like lose everything, you know? So it's definitely like gives you peace of mind to have that in your back pocket.
another thing that I was sort of looking at was that a lot of people talk about the cost of that universal basic income would bring to the government, but then it also would take drawbacks from things like you said, like homelessness, crime rates. Mm-hmm. There's a higher rate of people, you know, finishing their degrees or finishing their high school education. Yeah. So with that, you would be cutting back on other programs such as welfare or like, you know, homeless shelters, food banks would essentially be, you know, null because you don't need any of those things if there's a livable income for everybody. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, the problem also with homelessness, people are very susceptible to addiction and alcoholism, and that's how they deal with the stress of being homeless. And if somebody like had a backup plan, if everybody had a backup plan, there wouldn't be that stress of like screw it, I'll just drink or I'll just do drugs or whatever, you know, to get by. Because that's a huge thing with the homeless shelters too. They won't let them in if they're drunk or high or whatever, you know. So that's a huge thing. Like, if they have that to feel safe, then they don't need to turn to alcohol or drugs.
And so would you be in support of a UBI basic income program in Canada? And why not with specifically that program?
Yes, I would be. I would support it because I think it is basic human rights. I feel like everybody should be able to have shelter and food, because stuff does happen in life, like things that are unpredictable to everybody. And especially through COVID, like a lot of people struggled. And like, I don't know, it's a lot to deal with.
That was Hart Richards, a former preschool teacher who lost her job during the COVID-19 pandemic. You've been listening to the Article 1 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Article 1 is a human rights magazine published by Mount Royal University journalism students in Calgary, Alberta. You can find us online at article-1.ca. That's the number 1. This series is produced as part of the Community Podcast Initiative and powered by Shaw. This podcast was produced on Treaty 7 territory, a region with a long tradition of storytelling, rich culture, and history. Since human rights are a universal issue, we're committed to elevating and including all voices, including First Peoples, as we continue our work. Thanks to artist Broke for Free for our theme. The song is Daybird off their Directionless EP. My name is Maren Peake McAllister. Thanks for listening.